awareness of ET contactees, it doesn't, you have to kind of, you know, rotate information. Is that what you're doing?
It doesn't hold it. If I've personally experienced it as a record reading, I may remember it. But anything that's in the moment is available there in the moment, because everything is signature frequency teaching of the now. And part of my part of the journey of being the celestial translator and an understanding of how to enter the Akashic record frequency, which is to be in what I call the sacred neutral position, meaning I'm not attached to the information, and the information can flow and won't attach to me and create charge and polarity. Therefore, I can view it from many different perspectives. The Akashic record is not just from humans' perspective. It's from the animals, the trees, the birds, the bees, the ducks, the dinosaurs, everything that's in awareness in a particular time-space location or a locality. So I can observe through the Akashic record from the fly on the wall that's in the corner of their room, or from the dust mite that's on your body. It will have a very different perspective, but I can accumulate all of those experiences and get and generate a view of what that holographic reality was like in the past, and then make comparisons and contrast of how different it is. Example, when we go to millions of years in the past, the planet was a much higher density of light behind it. And therefore, it makes it very hard to perceive and receive and understand the very nature of that reality compared to this one, where we're much on a much lower density of light.
So when we go back in time, we are seeing that in our archaeological ruins and things like that, digs, that we were much taller. Did that happen? Did that have something to do with how big we were supposed to be on the planet?
I actually say that the planet itself has shrunk in size on a factor of 100. If we go back to 35 million years ago, when the high Atlantean Lemurian societies were running, it has shrunk 100 times.
What made it shrink?
The lessening. This is the leaving of the Golden Age and entering the Dark Age of the Kali Yuga as a metaphor. It's the lessening. We're entering a part of space where lower density intelligence, wisdoms, and awareness were living. And as the planet was traveling through that section of the galaxy, like a groove in a record, it got to experience the lower density. And now we are moving into another part of the galaxy, which is much higher density. And we're going to begin to experience brand new, denser things, like another color is going to be added to our journey. Can you imagine how much the world would change if you added an eighth color?
Great. So we're going to add another color. Now, will the planet grow in size again or shrink?
It will begin to grow in size again based off of the level of personal responsibility and awareness to all those that are conscious beings of choice beyond just humans. So humans are going to have to begin to recognize that our pets, the ducks, the dolphins, all have an innate consciousness in them that has to have the same level of respect to everything else that's a higher level of consciousness or a medium level of consciousness. And then the planet would begin to grow when there's a equality and balance between the respect for consciousness and to not step on its journey, especially those consciousness that live just outside of our sight vision. Like, we see a certain spectrum of light, yet there are many species who live outside, above, or below our spectrum of sight.
What about this thing about this great big beam of powerful sun that's due to hit every so many years? And it sounds almost like it's a scientific sort of a statement of what you just described metaphorically.
So there are a lot of people prophesizing all sorts of things. And as I've been saying since 2012, I actually led a marathon show on both Radio and Revolution Radio back in 2012, that was titled "Nothing's Going to Happen Tomorrow." And I continue to say, nothing's going to happen tomorrow. The aliens aren't going to come down and rescue us because we have to do it ourselves. One of the biggest misrepresentations by the lightworker community is that this is a collective awakening. It isn't. It's an individual awakening into the greater potency and power of what an individual being can do. And then the recognition of the duality we live in, and to no longer compete between the two sides of the duality, to understand the singularity can be perceived as the dual-based experience. And then people will begin to transition from Roman numeral time to the potentiality of what fourth dimension means, that many forms of time exist. And when we want to visit and work with other forms of time, we'll enter the fifth dimension, which is choosing other frequencies or multiple frequencies of time as part of our existence.
So a lot of people already do travel between the dimensions. And is that where ghosts and angels and some of the extraterrestrials are? They're in a different dimension?
Not always. Sometimes they're in a time-space location, and they're just soul points of light and energy that can live between the space of atoms. And then when they choose to engage our reality, they may change their density or part of their dimension so we can begin a perception process. If they don't want to have a perception process from our end, an entanglement, then they can continue journeying through our world and having unique experiences on this world without us ever perceiving them. There are still human beings who have unique perceptive abilities and can see them, but that's part of the greater awakening, which actually has been going on for close to 200 years as DNA goes through what we'll call a crystallization process or a re-imprinting of the greater potent powers we have.
So what's happening right now? It seems like the polarities are stretched and the dark is getting darker and the light getting lighter. That's kind of how I perceive it.
Well, this is the divide and conquer. This is what I call the fractalization of factions into fractions. Mm-hmm. Fractalizing, factionalizing, and then fraction, then making fractions of fractals. And once we are fractalized into factions, individuality has the potential of overwhelming the system of domination and control at its individual base of accepting the global narrative as the only form of source time. And the global narrative is doing whatever it can do to put you on information overload so that you stay within its realm of potentiality.
Right. So it's trying to keep you in this matrix, in this reality. It's a virtual reality, correct?
A hologram. We'll call it
a hologram. So we're in this hologram, and we perceive everything as being real and true. And then sometimes, like a couple of weeks ago, I woke up and I said, oh my God, the hologram is, it's kind of like on Star Trek, you can see the holodeck, right? You can see that it was like not real. The hologram is melting down. And I'm trying to symbolize and explain it. Very powerful download about what's coming, because we're coming up on this, whatever this election is, and we have COVID, and it symbolizes so many things to so many people. What does all this mean to you? This
to me, it's a narrative change.
Yeah. Okay. So what's
it means? There's a narrative change, and that means one party, whoever wins, is going to have the high, and whoever loses is going to have a complete restructure and reorganization. But that is what they're going to be selling people for the next 4 years so that you still pay attention to the narrative. Nothing new out in the system. And we all ask about what disclosure is. Everything's already been disclosed. The baby raping wizard lizards or whatever you want. It's all been disclosed already. It's all out there in the public domain. There's nothing, the secret space room, there's nothing that we don't already know. Okay. But humanity hasn't accepted it because the global narrative is still running the narrative. Each individual country's, each individual state's narrative that keeps us locked into this beliefs engine that they've created and we can't break out of. We're the fuel to their belief engine.
Right. So we actually have total, like I said, limited by language, but like control. So if we don't like the narrative, we can just change the channel or switch the lane or whatever.
That's the whole point of spirituality, is to rediscover alternate frequencies of time, perception, awareness, and then on that journey to not overwhelm us and force ourselves to learn faster. Because what the system of domination and control, what it wants to do, that narrative, is force evolve you into their mold of perception versus your natural, organic, co-creative evolution. That's why you see Facebook and YouTube designed the way it is, so people will binge for hours and hours and hours and flip through their phone and flip and flip. And the next thing you know, at the end of the month, they've spent 16 hours flipping on their phone and not actually doing anything to benefit themselves.
Right.
They've been weaponized against our curiosity.
Okay, Sash, do you have any input or questions?
No, what happened, Andrew, is while we were stalling for time, Janet asked me to do a poem, and I was doing this poem by Macaulay about when the Etruscans were coming after the Romans, and the captain of the guard and three other guys tried to hold them off at the bridge while the people hewed down the bridge. As I thought about it and the things you were saying, I thought about, well, yeah, this is a heroic act by a few people risking their lives to save their society. But then again, it's tribalism, tribe against tribe. And it's just part of two different systems of dominator consciousness that are clashing. And it was really hard for me because I was so into living there and being back there that when my wife interrupted me and just ignored that I was in the middle of a poem and feeling this thing through. It's hard for me to recover and track you.
Okay, he's getting back to
and
this
so time. So what's, if you would tell me what your higher insights are about that clash between the Romans and the Etruscans, it would be better than knowing why they killed Dirty Dog McGee on the Lone Highway.
That was
so understand the Etruscans were what I call a breeder race, meaning there was DNA lineages inside them that had unique DNA experiences, memories, and effects that connected to the false gods from early Greece, early Egypt, dating to around 5800 to 12,000 BC, when the false gods were really prevalent during the Ice Age, the Ice Age expression that we were coming out of, who was surviving that journey, and then the Offworlders who were pretending. So the Etruscans were the ground force that held the breeder group, the divine feminine, fallen into that form of perversion to give birth to very powerful souls who would become warlords, scientists, thinkers, and new false gods. And their individuated purpose, the Etruscan purpose, was to stay located in the northern Italian region near the Alps because there were unique power points that gave them direct access to Hollow Earth or tunnels that allowed them to travel all over the planet in and outside of time. So you have to see the Etruscans as time-based warlords. They could go backwards in time and suddenly appear on the Silk Road steppes, conquer a huge area, gather resources, and then teleport it back through the tunnel system back to the Etruscan headquarters, and as well as capture other DNA lineages and put them through enslavement.
Wow. Thank you.
There's a lot more to the Etruscans. The Etruscans weren't the only breeder group, but they were the ones that were controlled, just for sake of metaphor. Inside the Hollow Earth are well over 10,000 species, and they have their version of the United Nations. And the top five of the United Nations there at that particular time were not the good guys. And they ran the surface farm, quite literally. They would give permissions to other offworlders to come here and harvest unique beings or to travel forwards and backwards in time and begin a harvesting of more advanced souls and begin locking them into lineages, which is about enforcing the archonic grid, which is about making sure that you're not born into the right human, the right body.
Wow.
So what happens if you're not born into the right body? And what is the right body?
Karma. That's where repetition of karma happens over and over and over and over and over again. Okay? You're not in the right body. You're going to learn child abuse instead of being born to a mother who's going to love you. You don't get to plan your future. See, the big thing about the ancient builders and the fake gods, they understood how the universal system of incarnation, reincarnation, and spiritual commerce worked between planets, star systems. People in the ethereal worlds are looking for unique-based experiences to manifest in a body. They come to a place, they need a mother and father, they need family, they need friends, they need teachers. And those are up when you are the fetus in the womb, you begin this blueprint process to try to plan that. And then when you're born, you forget your infinite source and try to build roughly that idea through free will. And if you are born into the wrong family and immediately go through warlords and abuses, don't have high education, how are you going to have that lifetime where you're supposed to be awakened to your greater source?
Well, I think that even if you're born to the wrong family, you still are connected to the eternal source. And so that's just mortality.
Yes.
But you can still accomplish your mission. All of us have missions when we come to Earth about what we envision we are going to accomplish while we're here. So I don't think I came into the right family, but I certainly made it work.
Right. You know, well, everyone out of free will has a chance to make it work. The big thing to understand here, what Earth offered as a unique experience that was different than thousands or billions of other worlds is with the many forms of source disconnection here. And that what it took to relearn the infinite amounts of forms of source reconnection. And that's why the Arcanic Grid was really created. So this millhouse of source disconnection can be created. And the byproduct of that were warlords and system of domination and control. And the other side of their product was those free-thinking rebels who figured out how to bypass the incarnation and reincarnation grid and make unique lifetimes in which they weren't detected.
Okay.
Could you deal with Rian Eisler's idea that Lilith or Nimma and the great goddess proposed an alternative, a partnership alternative rather than a dominator alternative?
Absolutely, that happened. But we go back to the metaphor of the Hollow Earth United Nations, and that at one point a law was passed that the Lilith proposition was going to happen, and then another even more evil species invaded the solar system here, and it began another war that lasted roughly from 880 BC to around 200 BC, and that's where Rome essentially ended its Republic era. And because the Rome under the Republic era was not as vicious and as violent as it was during its Empire era. Yeah. That's when it was a lot more of the negative forces began influencing it, and the slave trade tripled in its process.
So what in our research we're saying that it looks like at that point Marduk, Satan, had taken over, and it wasn't Yahweh anymore that was the head of the Roman or Constantinople church.
Okay, so Constantinople would have been like 600 years later. But yeah. We're talking 200 BC, and the fall of Rome itself was about 470 AD.
Somewhere
and constant Byzantium Constantinople is into around 700 AD. Yeah.
What happened to Yahweh? Was he the god of Rome or not?
No. So the Yahweh of the Bible, the one that constantly speaks in the Bible, was actually a warlike angelic light-based species who was here to try to right the many time travel wrongs. But everything they did backfired on them because so much negative time travel had already been done. The more they tried to fix it, the worse it became, which became prevalent for many of the positive species who tried to come here and fix what had gone wrong. Many of the negative species created these unique forms of time traps, which would lock an offending force into a time loop or put them in ancient times where they couldn't affect a modern time, or put them on a side timeline in which they never got to interact with the main timeline.
Wow.
Okay. So when I was 4, I was taken on board a ship and I was shown 24 different timelines and potentialities. Do you have any insight what was going on there?
How old were you? What was that year?
It was 1958. I was 4, but I was actually my eternal self. So I was aware of my eternal being, okay. But I was in a...
So what the ship did was activate a part of your DNA so your young self could meet your eternal self and not be afraid. So you can be shown that you were coexisting on many timelines. There are more timelines than they showed you, but those are the ones that are being battled for... in minor things. You're basically hiding agents on tens of thousands of timelines, and they're waiting for an activation to a jump to a major timeline and do some form of negative or positive thing. That's why humanity has been fractalized so much. Let's say 1986 to 1989, there would have been as many as 70,000 alternate timelines, and 80 to 90 timelines were major ones that they were constantly battling over. And by time 9/11 hit, we had been reduced to about 6,000 alternate timelines and about 30 timelines that had major effects to what was going to happen as we passed the line of the Dark Age and going into the Light Age, and how the Light Age would emerge.
How do they battle? Are they shooting each other? Are they, what do you mean battle?
Well, first thing first is it's, if you're trying to control a time and a timeline, there are technologies that can completely collapse a timeline. And then what happens to all the consciousness that's collapsed on that timeline? It gets absorbed back into the other timelines. This is why we have things like Mandela effects. They do use guns. They do use lasers. They have all of those things. But it's ultimately about, are they going to try to own the timeline or collapse the timeline or corrupt the timeline?
So the 24 I was shown, they also showed you George Kapatsilis from Australia. So we correlated that information. So they seem to be 24 really primary important ones. And so at the end of the display, and which was more than just visual, it was like, I felt it, I lived it, I experienced it. They said, which one do you choose? So I chose one that was kind of on the utopian side of the scale, but there was enough left to do. And then I returned to the earth. And then I realized, so that was 58. So somehow we got hijacked in 63 by the Philadelphia experiment. They went over to Montauk. And
The Philadelphia experiment fractalized time. It actually tore a rift in time. And when they tried to fix it, it made it worse.
And so then we ended up with Kennedy assassination and there and so on and so forth. That's what I get my role in so there, but I'm still trying to figure out what my role is.
The Kennedy assassination is the realistic timeline of awakening. There are many alternate timelines where Kennedy still died in office but wasn't assassinated. Like, is there anyone that's had the Mandela effect that Kennedy died from cancer? That's a major timeline in which humanity would have had, how do I put this? The 60s and 70s would have been much more high technology. Imagine having cell phones the way we do today in 1974.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or imagine the opposite. We don't get the dot matrix printer till 1990.
Great.
Okay.
So I worked with Asimov, Heinlein, Roddenberry, and J. Allen Hynek. I used to do the conferences with them in Star Trek, and they were on a particular timeline that was seemingly coming to be. And so for me, it's shocking to come here now, and it's like, this isn't where we were going. Do you have an awareness of something that happened that we switched once again?
Okay, so we have to understand the nature of books. So book is an actual form of light-based manifestation technology that can act as a legacy for future or past generations. So a book is a form of advanced technology. And books time travel and can mutate from shelf to shelf to shelf in reality. So there are certain books, I don't know how to describe this, that may have been tried to be wiped out from history, but they find their way back. Mm-hmm. And advanced authors like Heinlein really tapping into some of the major source-based connections to create something that was to trigger people into awareness, even though a lot of it was a war-based concept, it was still there to help you understand space and alternate realities are real. So some of those things were hijacked by various intelligence sources, and books were changed, they changed back. And all in all, the majority of the science fiction writers of that era, they had unique spiritual contracts to write and connect to every person that's ever read a word to them. Mm-hmm. And then that person had a choice. Am I going to let these words change, alter, affect, or co-create with me?
And so he wrote a book about all the books coming to life, like The Wizard of Oz. And then he was the character Lazarus Long that traveled through time and space and kept encountering all these books that were actualized and alive and all the characters alive. So that I thought was a clue about what was going on here, that he was pretty aware of something. And then we would be in these panels with all of them at these conferences with 20,000 people. So there was some kind of grid being created there to manifest this reality of the Enterprise and Federation, stuff like that.
Right. That's very similar. I was at the baseball game, and every person was part of that spiritual contract to maintain that on a timeline, because if it wasn't on a timeline, we're not going to incarnate. And it was a way we were able to fight back to the system. If you're going to take this away and the way for us to meet, fuck you. We're not going to meet. Or excuse me. Sorry, I can't say that. You know, we're not going to incarnate, and we're not going to deal with your system.
Right. So that's what my download last night said. If we don't keep things exciting enough and interesting enough, and it comes into absolute slavery, right now we're in slavery, but it's kind of like perceived as freedom, then we're going to stop incarnating just like the Greys, and we're going to go in that direction. That's what I got. Last night was like there's a timeline thing happening, and I'm glad we're doing this show, but I don't understand it quite completely.
Well, there's always going to be a certain portion of humanity who's not going to choose natural procreation and rather have unnatural procreation for whatever traumatic things have been done to them lifetime to lifetime to lifetime. This is why we have abuse rings. Now, the Hollywood abuse rings that are making popular pop culture today, they've been around for thousands of years.
Right.
The Roman Empire industrialized child abuse. And you can go back to every civilization. They all had slaves. They all abused the slaves horribly and did very odd things and did magical rituals around them. What we have today is pretty much watered down to what was done 200 years ago to kids, because there was nothing to stop them then.
So what?
Tiberius had a place that I saw, and he threw little kids off of it when he threw them. Right. In the ocean.
So you said about not natural procreation. I'm going to go back to what you said about.
There'll be a certain portion of human beings who have been affected by the abuse rings, where they can't connect to divine feminine or divine masculine and can't make eternal relationships that have procreative qualities to them. They're just too disconnected from the source in themselves. So they will choose the transhumanism process, where they will take a DNA upgrade, where they'll lose their sex organs, but become similar to the Greys or some of the other ones who don't have sex organs and just reclone themselves every few thousand years.
Okay, I understand now. Okay, so are they the Greys that are visiting us, are the future humans, or are they?
First thing first, we have to understand what a gray is. Yes. A gray is not a naturally existing DNA skin suit. It was a creation from the ground up, much like if you were to create a car, and then you're going to sell a car to a light-based being who will use that body. What ended up happening is who had taken DNA upgrades realized that they could use bodies back and forth, and that many of their worlds became under cataclysmic direct action attack, so on and so forth. So they, in mass, jumped into gray bodies. So inside the grays are thousands of different species who lost their original DNA skin suit for whatever cataclysmic reason done to their DNA. So the grays, there are many grays that you know, they want to say, this is my natural body now because I've been in it for millions of years. But in fact, the gray itself, even though there's different species of gray, is not a naturally occurring DNA body. It was a creation.
Let me ask you about one in particular. Stuart Swerdlow and Andrew Horn and others had said that the people of Apis, who were first attacked by the Dracos in the Illyrian group, that they were bombarded so much, they finally took to the to skyfaring, and eventually they became this form of gray. And do you have any data on these people? They were originally of the same stock as we are, if that's true.
We'll have to understand time first. So the Lyrian battles were about maintaining one galactic time and not allowing a galactic time to be hijacked by lower density, lower wisdom based species who had achieved, who had taken DNA that gave them a much higher awareness and power level that they weren't ready for.
Yeah.
So what you're saying has a lot of truth to it, but when we try to individuate when, where, and how that happened, this is spread over thousands and thousands of worlds and timelines. And that inevitable let's say, exodus out of one form of light into another form of light that needed bodies.
Wow.
Yeah, because Errol the Grey at the Roswell incident, the alien conversation, said that that is a doll body, and she said, "He didn't kill me. It was just like an avatar." So,
right.
So she was in an avatar, and her form was slightly different than the other Greys that were there. Anyway, so okay.
Hold
so
on, I want to add something. Stay inside the body as a light being. The Grey changes to your light-based experience. It's a self-evolving system the longer you stay in it. Even though it is a doll body, it's like when you have a home and you've personalized it and you come in and it feels like a home. There are a lot of light-based beings when they were forced out of their old DNA bodies and into something new, it never felt like a home. That's why many of them became highly scientific and lost a lot of their emotional processing and emotional intelligence.
So what about the human form, this one that we're in right now, these bodies? Tell so us
this,
about
this is the Porsche of DNA skin suits all around the world, all around the universe. It's the skin suit everyone wants. It's got the heated seats. It's got the time travel consciousness abilities. It can experience up to 50 colors of time. We can eat. We can fart. We can drink. We can make love. We can have children. And the memories that are created from that are very potent and can jump from one consciousness to the other who's going through the incarnational process. The memories that are stored in light. In my cosmology, DNA is actually 80% memories. And those memories have skill sets that are attached to it. And every lifetime that we're born, we forget who we are. And certain aspects of that 20% trigger us into greater forms of awareness. So that's why so many people connect to Atlantis, Lemuria, or previous times, because they've been triggered to have some of those memories reoccur within them.
Right. And that's why sometimes you're able to talk about information that you don't have any awareness of learning this lifetime.
Right, exactly.
Right. Play the piano or whatever. Yes. Okay, so we're the Cadillac, or we're the
I just want to reiterate, we can experience 50 colors of time. Like the Grey body only experience about 6 to 7 colors of time.
So and Clint, a lot of color- I mean, what do you mean by 50 colors of time? What does that mean?
Okay, so you have your root chakra, which is a red frequency of time, which allows human connections, your sacrum, so on up to your crown. And then there are chakra points beyond that that allow for higher forms of dimensional connection and simultaneous existing. So the more colors you can experience, the more simultaneous existences you can simultaneously perceive in a non-competitional process, create an agenda across all of those simultaneously lives that can manifest inside and outside of time.
Is that always happening, whether you're conscious of it or not?
Yes.
Yeah, because I'm aware of my multidimensional self simultaneously existing in many levels, frequencies, and planets and stuff like that. Although I still find that I have to just slow down and pay attention, when I'm here, or else I'll wreck the car, right? So,
I have a rule: no driving and divining.
So, in the continuum, this human form, which is very ancient, just residing on the Earth, or is it all throughout the
all throughout the multiverse?
And why is it better than the reptilian or the draconian form?
That's an assumption that it's better.
Or is it better? Yeah.
So we get down to the terminology: natural co-creative evolution versus forced evolution. And the Draco reptilian are trying to use the natural law of saying my free will and forced evolution is natural co-creative evolution, versus no reptilian being there and someone choosing their natural co-creative evolution. So it's an ideology and a philosophy that's trying to manipulate the universal laws of natural co-creative evolution.
So what about the hybrids? There apparently are hybrids of...
There's hybrids of everything.
Right.
And their purpose is to bridge the gap of knowingness of what is inside, stored inside DNA memories. There are certain DNA memories that from collapsed timelines that no one knows about anymore, but it's in somebody's DNA somewhere in the galaxy or the universe.
Right. So everything's already been created. We're just assembling it and remembering it and forgetting it.
One of the really interesting things, that, again, from the CIA documents, is that the Council of Hetona, which was called to stop the fighting between the Atlans and the Dracos, decided they would make proto-humans, one of which was Homo erectus, which had our brain stems, which are basically very reptilian, fight or flight, able to survive on a tough planet, and so forth. And so part of all of us who are descended from Adam are, by this account anyway, partially reptilian in our brain stem particularly.
The medulla oblongata, and then the other structure that's attached to it. So real quick, something to add on. There are over 900,000 different skin suits. And the farm here on this planet only wants about 135,000 types of human skin suits to exist on its surface. Those other 800 or 750,000 skin suits, they can exist somewhere else, but they're not trying to farm those skin suits. These are the best of the best of skin suits that have the greatest amount of DNA memories. Part of the greater DNA programming that's going on right now is aligning the farm itself so that they can activate advanced wisdom and awareness in people, places, and things.
So wow. You're talking about skin suits as species, as types, or are you talking about?
Yes, both. Okay. A skin suit can be a species, and it can be an offside, like, you know, like we have black, white, American, and Japanese. Are a Japanese that's half American different than a pure Japanese or a pure American? When you look at the DNA memories, they are, because their culture highly influences the types of experiences they have at the cultural level through their growth. And culture is very much a part of what creates a species itself. Because we have breakaway civilizations happening all the time, and they become a separate civilization.
So I was at a meeting with 100,000 unique individual extraterrestrial, quote-unquote, species. And they said, no two are alike. I was the only human at this meeting. Mm-hmm. And they created this place where we gathered out of our own minds. It just when we left, it was gone. So mm-hmm. What was going on there?
So that is a temporary thought construct that is created that has a hub of interconnectivity that allows the selected DNA frequencies to coexist there for a short period of time for some form of greater education, networking, etc.
Right. So I was reporting what it was like to be a human female, 21st century, living in Maui, Hawaii, et cetera, et cetera. They wanted me to report to them. And right. Then they asked, I did a Q&A. So what are your thoughts on that? What was that about?
It's a greater education into, well, first of all, humans are watched like television by many other species. Okay? Okay. So there's a Janet show, there's an Andrew show, everybody has a show, and then there's a collective show to look at it, because each person's individual experience and how they perceive multicultural interaction is vital to the greater awakening.
Wow.
So culture must survive the greater awakening. Even though the system of domination and control does not want culture divide, they want it to fractionalize so they can recreate culture from the ground up. Thus why transhumanism is trying to be promoted so much.
So what do you mean by culture?
Culture is part of the unique experience. Like, you know, American chicken soup versus Chinese miso soup or a Japanese miso soup. Soup is soup, right?
Right.
Except for the way that it's created through the ambiance and the love of the individual mother that creates it, who has a culture of loving in a particular style and way. Culture is vital to the greater spiritual experience. When a fetus is in the womb planet, culture is a major, major teacher.
Right. Sash, go ahead. You had a question.
Oh, well, this is Leach and others have been talking about the Bodland kingdom, which was in historical sources I have from Norwegian that came in the North Pole and came out in the South Pole, people from Bolivia who basically came through a series of tunnels over the years and found these people speaking ancient German, and that there was an organized set of societies in the Antarctic area ruled by Bodlanders. And then there's for this whole thing of every 25,000 years, a cocky comes, someone comes from the inside of the earth, like Jesus, to, and we're about to have that happen again, where we are have when we enter this new Satya Yuga or Golden Age, the Age of Aquarius. What are your thoughts are on that stuff?
So when we go back to pre-Roman numeral Gregorian Janus calendar time, the world did not share one single time. When clock towers were implemented around the world using Roman numeral time, that was a direct conquering of time itself. Before Roman numeral time and Gregorian calendar time, every local bubble and area of reality had its own version of time. And therefore, in that own versions of time, which weren't connected to other versions of time, many unique things could happen into them. And you're talking about the Christ consciousness. I've always said when Christ was born, he wasn't born in one body. He was born in 8,400 bodies. Each individual bubble of separate time had some version of that frequency born into it to generate the higher based light teachings. The same thing with the Buddhas, et cetera, et cetera. We, the star seeds, are the next Christ consciousness, because there's thousands or millions of other cultures who want to be a part of this great planet and a part of the regrowing to its original size so that its density can be increased by the amount of love that's existing on this planet.
So the only, we have to up the love, right?
Well, that's the base journey, yes. But in that journey to love is working through all those traumas that disconnected us from it.
Well, right now our planet is in huge trauma, and we're leaving in 2 minutes, and we'll be back in four after that. So, I want to talk a little bit more about the trauma we're in right now, and what we can do to. They're breaking, dividing, and conquering us, dividing whoever the they is, divide us into further and further into these little subcultures and tribes, and then pitting us one against the other. That's what seems to be happening to me, but. I don't know.
Or maybe we're being challenged to recognize that that we are really all one, and that the divisions among us are spiritual.
So maybe you can tell us what is going on now, because so many people are screaming and yelling at each other and upset.
So we got about 1 minute. So a quick overview. They are trying to divide and conquer us. In division and conquering, tribalism and innate DNA wisdom to create cultural connections is trying to take over. And that's what they're trying to force us in, into this never-ending battle of reconnecting to the tribe, instead of the greater awakening is the individual awakening, and then tribes will reform after the awakening.
And so when we get back, don't answer now. We want to know who is the they that is doing that to us. But don't answer now. That's our cliffhanger. Okay. So the music is starting right now. I need a second now. And so.
No, he's saying that the way freedom for the collective is through the individual. That's wonderful.
Okay. Yep. Well, we're going to elaborate on that when we come back and waiting for the music. Yep. Boy, 1 minute is a long time when you're waiting for the music. Okay. Here it is. Mute your mics. We'll be back in 4 minutes.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take.
is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday, 1700 hours Pacific Time, that's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet. Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look. It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
What?
Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Feel that things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here. All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Aloha, everyone. Welcome back to Stargate to the Cosmos. I'm your host, Janet Carolesson. I'm here with Dr. Sasha Alec-Lesson, and Deborah DeFranco is our producer, and you're listening to Revolution Radio, Studio B, Stargate to the Cosmos. And Andrew Barkis is our guest, and before we get back to our show, I'd like to remind you to please go over to the donation button on revolution.radio. Top left tab is where you can make your one-time donation, and the Patreon button in the middle is where you can make your recurring donation. We do thank you very much for your donations. Sasha, what would you like to say?
This is a great conversation for those of you who are just hitting us. This is everything you always wanted to know about everything.
Right. So when we left at the break, we were going to talk about who is doing all this to us. human, we identify as certain things where, you know, we think we're white, black, orange, yellow, pink, blue, you know, we're male, female, you know, we live in a certain country, we're certain. So what is this game that we're playing here of life, and who is the they that's doing the what to us that makes us break down and divide and conquer? Back to you, so, Andrew.
All right, so 50% of it is us believing in the narrative that they present to us. The other 50% is the hollow earth controllers who see us as a cyclical farm of harvesting. In the past, during the Dark Ages, they used grand, large destructions as part of the harvesting journey. And as we're now going to the Light Age, a destruction can no longer be used as a harvesting journey. So it is us, 50%, and the other 50% trying to maintain a farm through mind control, that is passive mind control, social engineering, and direct mind control through food, GMO products, bad medicines, all those other things that we talk about in our general world of what's degrading the human experience.
So who are the hollow earth people?
That is that metaphorical United Nations of 10,000 plus species down there who are using DNA farming and harvesting in a slave-based concept. So there are a lot of people who are follow a particular religion. I don't want to select one out, but many times they get selected as because their soul or their frequency is so high energy, they have a fake angel come down to them and say, we're going to take you up into an angelic ship and bring you to this other world, and you're going to service this giant crystalline object, which is a source. In all reality, that's just a power source for a species, and you become the maintainer and operator of that technology in your unawareness, or become a prayer-based slave, because prayer is a harvestable form of energy. And the ancient builder technology, if you have the right DNA, you are able to activate ancient builder technology, repair it, and make new builder ancient builder race technology. So humans are a key component to the trade of DNA that can activate ancient technology, make new ancient technology, or be a prayer-based harvest system.
Okay, so there's 10,000 species.
Everything from octopoidal to ten-legged. You know, everything you can think of.
Okay. And what about the surface beings?
We are the farm. We are the farm.
And other species that have visited this earth, and that we have their,
Oftentimes when other species are visiting here, they're trying to put a new seed into the farm. And the hollow earthers have spent the last 2,500 years making sure the farm doesn't have anything in it they don't want. No weeds to grow or new DNA frequencies to come and interact with the farm itself. So when you have other species come here, oftentimes they come here on trade deals to harvest energy from the planet or to take trillions of gallons of water and bring it to another world, because Earth water is very unique and very regenerative to other planets that have gone through age-based destructions, or they're just not a viable planet. They can bring the programmed water from here to other places. Earth is a humongous water war planet too.
But isn't our water limited, or does it regenerate in some other way?
If you're traveling forwards and backwards in time, and you take that water out of time, and then you bring that water back after it's been used up somewhere else, or they take water from one place and bring it here, so they have a constant source of purifying water. Our consciousness and the food chain that exists within the ocean can reprogram the water itself. That's that plankton life-based form.
So we're just a bunch of products and, you know, farm animals. Are they ever going to set us out of this system? Are we trapped for eternity?
They want you to think you're trapped for eternity. At any point in time, we could have a revolution of awareness, thoughts, and constructs into our individuality that we are not stuck to Roman numeral time. Example, why does the Chinese Space Force use Roman numeral numbers to count down? Why do the Russians, even though they all have their own alphabet and numbering system? There's a reason. Roman numeral time is a spell, just like each and every dollar bill or rupee or anything that is out there. It's a spell that is engaging your belief engine.
All right, so let's go.
Yeah, it's a talisman. That's all it is. Yeah.
Right. That locks you into that belief structure that this linear time is all we can perceive because science tells us through the narrative.
So let's break this down so we can give people something to wrap their little minds around, a direction or something they can do to break free of this. And do people tend to want to stay where their other people are? I mean, if you break free and everybody else is still in the system, won't you be lonely?
No, because right? there's an infinite amount of life force on the other side. But do you have the social skills to make first contact, second contact, third contact, fifth, 20th, and 7,000th contact until they may become a trusted friend? Most people don't have those skills. That's why we have so many star seeds here with it built into them.
So what are the skills you need to, I mean, I've made contact and a lot of my friends have, but a lot of people, you know, will shit a brick if they make contact, right? So what do you need to do to prepare for contact?
Let's separate contact, just preparing yourself. First thing first, Roman numeral time is not the only form of time there. And when one enters the meditative state, we are leaving time. So any spiritual practice, no matter what it is, it's about letting go of the moment of time that is an attachment to time itself. And once we allow that to be a practice state, we can learn what to do. Now, everybody's been at a job and they've got like 6 hours of work to do. And they look back and, oh, my God, I got it done in 2 hours. How did I morph time? Or this is a 5-hour drive and I made it in 3. How did I do that? Time is a social agreement. First thing, when we leave the social agreement and become familiar with the other types of time based agreements, we can begin to exist in that other space. Now, meditation, magic based work, or what I call the daily practice, is ultimately what prepares you for the greater journey to the other side and the potentialities that other side offers. What I like to say is prayer in its many forms, which there's contribution-based prayer, there's service to self-based prayer, is one of those ways to begin to unravel our connection and attachment to time and put us into that no time state where our words are an expression of our sovereign free will and discover the right word order that begins to disconnect us from the attachments of karma, the attachments of having to live, and that becoming a practice state ultimately gives us the aggregate ability to leave and enter time at will.
Okay. Did you want to say something?
That's not unlike the aware ego, a place where you keep reflecting on you as a reflector and reflect on that reflector and so forth. And you just keep going back until you identify with the whole ganze Mishpacha, the whole works.
Right. That's exactly right. And beyond that, too. Because no matter what spirituality, they're all teaching the 25 basic practices of how to detoxify from time. Okay, our time is toxic now. Like we could agree, we live in toxic times, right? Which makes it very easy to stay stuck in it. And detoxifying from time is beginning to do that inner work that helps define our traumas, our dramas, our dharmas, and our karmas that keep us stuck in toxified time.
What is the role of death?
Death is a change of experience. Death is a vital process in the live, breathe, eat, experience, love, and pass on back to the infinite. It's a cyclical cycle of infinite to finite back to infinite. And death is not common amongst many species. There are many species that choose when they pass on and they don't see it as a death. They see it as a transition from an old type of consciousness to a newer type of consciousness that's looking for a newer experience. And oftentimes they will shed an old body and create a new one.
Right. So we can get conscious with this process of death, correct?
Absolutely. That's why they call it the inner work. And you can connect to your fear of death or ideology of what death is and begin to do the inner work to remove fear from it.
So the work around death is similar to the work around the concept of time.
Absolutely, as well as the traumas that one experiences during life. Oftentimes it's the traumas we've created that generates the fear, false evidence appearing real about the death process. I've left something undone. I can't live. I can't love. I'm not in a body anymore, so on and so forth, which then generates disincarnate beings who haven't crossed over to the infinite side, but are still going through the fractalization of their I am. And when we're in the higher spirit form, we don't use I am as a technology. I am, or the awareness of ourself in a generated consciousness and a body, is a part of the nature of experience. What I call our DNA bodies are instruments of experience that are highly tuned to give you powerful memories, so that when we go into our life and death review, that these powerful memories and the faded memories that don't have a lot of light become equalized, and we see the greater picture of what we've actually done. Not based off of how we've influenced the global narrative, but how we've influenced the people that live, love, and learn with us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Before, I just want to give Deborah a chance to comment or ask questions.
Yeah, there was a couple things I had questions on. Let me ask you both my questions, and then you can speak to them. One, you mentioned timeline corruptions, the mm-hmm. Philadelphia experiment being one. I believe uh-huh. that was the phrase you used.
Yes.
Could you give some other examples of that, and what exactly do the corruptions do to the timeline we're on? And then two, you mentioned that Lake Erie is a powerful portal. And mm-hmm. I asked that question because I live literally between Lake Erie and Lake Ontario.
Okay, well, right now I'm just outside of Cleveland, Ohio. I grew up here. So the Philadelphia experiment was technology that was influenced by off-worlders who were assisting scientists going through a channeling process or downloading of scientific data. And when they implemented the Philadelphia experiment, it tore a hole inside time itself that didn't have a technological backstop to it. Oftentimes, we create technologies that have a backstop that stops something from creating a very negative chain reaction. So what the Philadelphia experiment did, because it didn't have this backstop or this stopping energy built inside the technology, all the other things that were using time-based technology, their capacity to travel inside and outside of time was warped. So you require very precise calculations to go from 1954 to 1936. You know, and then change your space-time location also. So the Philadelphia experiment warped the ability, so you needed a very complex equation to actually travel through time. Now, what they ended up doing was corking that hole and putting a patch over it, even though the Philadelphia experiment is still affecting some forms of time travel technology. It's not as prevalent as it was before. A new time-based algorithm has come in to fix that warp that was in there. Now, the next thing, Lake Erie, all the Great Lakes are a generator of electricity. The alkalinity of the water and the way the clouds go over it can create rapid thunderstorms that can charge spaceships. Wherever there are giant lakes and weather patterns that are over them that can cause the weather temperatures to move up and down at a rapid scale, you will have cloud-based ships harvesting that energy, or actual ships charging their dimensional drives in that particular zone so that they can travel the realities of the multiverse. Think of Lake Erie, all the Great Lakes, as a massive power generation system.
I actually live right next to Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
Another power generation system.
Yeah. Yes, it is. A very powerful one.
Wow.
So that being said, about the Philadelphia experiment, what is the Bermuda Triangle exactly?
So it's something very similar to the Philadelphia experiment that happened, that occurred in the Atlantean area around 13.5 million years ago, in which a reality altering weapon was brought in to this world. And it was meant to create tens of thousands of time-based rifts that were supposed to suck the surface dry of all human living life and create time-based storms on the surface that wouldn't allow the reseeding of time or DNA on the surface. It was a very nasty weapon. And wow. once it was implemented here, the good and the bad that were living in the Hollow Earth actually had to work together for a period of about 300 years to repair the infinite amount of rifts that were opening up all over the surface that threatened to go to the subsurface too. And that weapon is like a neutron, is like metaphorically like a neutron bomb. If you eliminate all the consciousness in it by them all being trapped in time rifts, once the time rifts wear off, you can go and take the planet over with no war.
So is the Bermuda Triangle where this happened?
That's the nuclear, metaphorical nuclear fallout zone of where the weapon was implemented.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, yeah. I passed the talking stick.
Well, you know, this sounds so similar to the tales of the Maldives off of Argentina, having the black goo, basically a form of invasive intelligence. And that would, did you ever hear those stories about that?
Oh, yeah, I've talked about it many times. So there are many different forms of black goo. The original form of black goo was harvested off of a very low light frequency planet, where that was its first primordial soup energy. And then negative species harvested it and tried to enter nanobot technology to force an evolution in it. And then it was brought here. And once it was brought here, it reacted to the high light and it was able to throw off its nanobots that were controlling it. And it became extremely violent at a psychic level, like a brutal psychic capacity. And it broke out into this world and entered the DNA farm and started hijacking DNA skin suits. And this is another situation where the Hollow Earthers, both light and dark, had to generate a technology and a co-creative value to harvest all the black goo beings off the world simultaneously with teleportation technology. But once they did that, they had this goo and they didn't know what to do with it. But it became super highly intelligent, as well as the capacity it would literally eat artificial intelligences. And it eventually learned how to break out of its jail, its time-based jail that it was put in a number of times. And then there were some other extremely negative off-world species who took samples of it and brought it to other worlds and allowed it to take over whole worlds and evolve into a greater consciousness. So this black goo is something extremely negative that can take down both sides of the good and the bad.
Are the Nazis in the Hollow Earth?
There are aspects of them in awareness, but they're not directly living there, no. A common human being can't just be teleported to Hollow Earth and live there long. The amount of light-based electricity is too much for this DNA skin suit in its current form to be. Any form of trauma will be highly agitated down there, because they live in a higher density of light. So you can go down there for a very short period of time, or you have to go through the detraumatization and acclimatization to that higher frequency of light down there.
So I remember repeating my body and my astral body and going down and keep going down. And then there's a part I can't remember and I can't access. What was I doing? Why was I going? I mean, I didn't even know about the Hollow Earth and all this stuff when I was a kid, but I kept doing that, and I come back into my human form, and I could remember going. I could remember going through the caverns. I could remember returning, but in between, I just don't know what happened. Any ideas?
Yes. So a lot of people have similar experiences, and what I can say is, as you're beginning the astral journey to Hollow Earth, you are looking for what I call resistance-free Earth updates, connecting to the news channels that are down there of what's actually happening, and then bringing it back up to the surface in a form of dreamy awareness and some form of internal natural influence that gives you greater understanding of the times. Okay, those of us that are in the speaker presenter world, all of us are what I call resistance-free Earth. We're here to stop the forced evolutionary system from hijacking universal laws and declaring their version of universal laws are the only ones you can believe in.
Okay, wow, time's going fast. Do you have any questions? I want to go into solutions, but go ahead.
One thing that I'm aware of because of some of the work that I've done is that I used to swim all the time from Palos Verdes to Tijuana down this long tube. And as I did my work, I realized that I was really reliving or feeling again my birth process.
Okay, so in the Tijuana area, there's a special earth point or chakra that we'll simply call a womb chakra, W-O-M-B, where life is highly generated.
Wow.
Now, the vast majority of worlds that are out there, and we're talking like 97% of the worlds, have maybe one, two, or three womb chakras on them. And Earth has 300 of them on there. Because Earth, its original purpose was to be what's called a seventh density galactic seed planet. There, you could have hundreds of individual times in which people can grow billions of trees, trillions of fish, and then teleport and transport and graft them onto brand new worlds. So when you're talking about that tube in the rebirth energy, you were entering that womb chakra energy. Now, many of the ancient DNA manipulators that came, or such as the Anunnaki, the Orions, the Assyrians, when they began to discover this world had lots of these womb chakras, what it did is they put their DNA scientists in the center of these chakras and allow them to go free and make unique creations such as centaurs, minotaurs, hybrids, etc., and allow them to be grafted onto new worlds. Part of Earth's the purpose is literally to seed a new galaxy with life.
It's the most amazing city. It's so full of life. It's the most, it's an incredible place.
Interesting. Okay. So what about, you can see into the future.
Yep. Potentialities.
Potentialities.
I can follow a line of potentiality that may have a branch of potentialities on it, but until actualization, it's just a potentiality.
Okay, so what's the primary potentialities that you see right now in October of 2020? Where are we going? What are our potentialities?
All right, so I'm going to start with a metaphor we can all understand, great disappointment. And then in great disappointment, people will be forced to look at themselves in sadness, desperation, unhappiness, and then make a choice. Do I want to see the unnatural world for what it is and begin living a natural life? Which will then catalyze a greater awakening in individualities to disconnect from the system because of the great disappointment that's there. That's the biggest potentiality. See, now there are sub-potentialities like, who's going to win the election? I can't tell you who's going to win the election because there's so many things trying to manipulate and influence that it won't be known until the end. I have a guess at the mood that two or three states that their elections will go to their state courts and that there'll be each party, Trump and Biden, neither of them will get the 270 electoral college votes and that it'll be upheld by the state courts. Trump will try to force the Supreme Court to force a vote election, but the separation of state powers versus federal powers actually prevents that. And if that happens, technically Nancy Pelosi would become the vice president. Yes. Right. Okay. This is the succession of power rules.
Dershkovitz said that if the president decides that it's in the national interest that he cancel the election or declare himself a temporary dictator, that's within his, he is unlimited by the Constitution from doing that. Yeah, Dershowitz actually argued that in the impeachment hearings.
Right, and Dershowitz is wrong. It specifically says that it goes to the Congress.
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah, it specifically says it goes to the Congress. And then you have to understand the succession of law, succession of Congress, succession of ruler rules that were created in 1988 and then redone in 1994. You have to go to look at those laws for the succession rules.
So somebody's going to get disappointed.
Absolutely. Yes. So no matter what side wins, another side's going to go through deep depression, and your show, my show, and everyone else's shows are going to take off. Okay? That's what I see. On another side, you have a deep state that has heavily exposed itself, and it has to figure out how to cover it up, because the amount of holes that it has now are going to create opportunities where, we're not going to call them whistleblowers, information sourcers are going to come out and start putting out what they want you to know. And then there's a whole bunch of stuff being done in the economy where technology's been held back, and all it takes is one rogue CEO to announce, I have a new piece of technology that could revolutionize the world.
That's right. Information and truth is what's going to break the illusion.
Mm-hmm. Well, all the people that I've interviewed over the last whatever years, 10 years, many of them are talking about the secret space program and what technologies we actually have. And we have the technologies apparently to have basically extreme longevity, cures for all diseases, cloning, you can, yep. You know, like for like the yeah. transportation, the M drive, yeah. Like, for example, you know, the abortion issue, you could just take the fetuses and put them in an artificial womb or transfer it to somebody else. Mm-hmm. There's so many solutions for these things that we were making catastrophic and you know, what do you see happening there?
But is the average human ready for that responsibility? No.
I think so.
No, they're not.
I think they're far 1951 with the day the earth stood still and all these science fiction shows and programs that we have it in our repertoire. We have it in our memory. We have it as a potentiality. And all sure. we have to do is go
a potentiality. Kind of
yeah.
Sure. Well, I'd say one of the things that's very interesting to me is Leach reports a series of Roosevelt had contact with extraterrestrials and he wanted to go public with it. And his advisors said, hey, Frank, we can't do that. They panic people. I said, I don't know about this. They devised a test. They got Orson Welles to narrate H.G. Wells' radio thing. And there was this local panic in Jersey and New York. And Roosevelt said, yeah, well, we better keep it secret. But so it was staged for the president just so he would shut up.
Yeah, but I think we're past. Go ahead, Andrew. What
were
you going to say?
I've got a couple responses here. So I say humanity isn't ready for the responsibility. We're far too traumatized. That's why the next 2 to 3 years are about the detraumatization of the global narrative. Now, during that journey, as people are learning to do inner work, disconnecting from Roman numeral time, following this daily spiritual practice that advances their capacity to remain high vibration, reject negative entities that are out there, understand that what we created ourselves, our own self-created demons that we have, that are self-defeating us. Now, that whole thing about Roosevelt and H.G. Wells, etc., why are we still basing everything off of something done in the 1950s? Humanity has changed, but
right, we're not afraid anymore.
We
right.
are afraid. We are afraid of our own idiocracy. All it would take is one mob rules to put us down a journey where we start weaponizing medical technology that's meant for longevity. That's ultimately why the call wants to do long-term slow drip disclosure. Okay. I personally want a rapid disclosure, but humanity has to be ready for the responsibility to hold that. And in many past awakenings, we weren't ready to hold the responsibility of the greater power that we possess within ourselves. This is why so many star seeds have been activated, so to get people on that daily practice of a spiritual journey, to get yourself on the journey of holding higher vibration and to change our negative ideologies that could submit and supplant other people's free will.
I think that because of all this information overload that we have right now, which has been accelerated by Trump, good or for bad, and it's like one day it's one thing, next day, within an hour, it's a different reality. We don't know what to wrap our heads around. That whole process of continual information disinformation, information overload. You know, now we have 100, 200, 300 television stations. That's what's going to make us ready to take a quantum leap and not have to go through the long, slow process like that during Orson Welles.
I agree. But what does that quantum leap look like, and how many people are going to take the leap?
I'm getting that this it's out of our hands. Whoever, I don't know.
Minerva's going to do it.
Last night I got the, it's over because it's just so far. It's so perverse. It means the perturbation which will do the collapse and the reorganization at the higher order level of order. We are about to experience an outside this closed system, perverse system, a perturbation of the highest order because, you know, this is not acceptable. Or even the inner earthers that are using us as product and they're selling us as slaves and food, that is perverse and that is about to end because I'm in contact with these highest level beings, at least 100,000 different eating species, and they are not in this dark continuum, and there's like enough is enough.
Right.
That's what but I got last night.
I agree with what you're saying, but they don't have an implementation process in which they can remove, let's just say, a significant portion of the human apparatus that wholly accepts and is completely a part of the negative system here.
Well, isn't that what they're always talking about? The deep state is going to get everybody, you know, people tell me these stories all the time. They've been replaced.
It's beyond the deep state. It's integrated to the Hollow Earth controllers, who also have to have their power removed and their technology neutered, just like when you take a pet to get neutered. Their technology has to be neutered.
We're looking at the closed Earth system, or even this part of the solar system, but there's always a higher power than that. I mean, it goes all the way up to, you know, universal and many universes, right? So
okay. So Earth is not a closed system. The surface of Earth is a closed system. Okay. The astral timeline and the subsurface timeline are not closed systems. Surface that is a closed system. And the opening of our system allows for the astral worlds and the hollow Earth worlds to have individual connections without the metaphorical hollow Earth United Nations defining who you can or can't talk to, who you can or can't influence.
Well, that's what they show me, is that these forces that are no longer, that are not aligned with goodness and love and higher consciousness are going to get teleported. And that was my dream last night. I don't know what to make of it, but it was very, very powerful.
Metaphorically, I've had the same similar dream. But what I see is as our solar system spirals through the galactic groove of time and goes deeper into the more denser light, they can't live here and they're going to be pushed out and their technologies will be nullified. In all reality, we're still at the very end of the dark age. Even though we've crossed the metaphorical line into the light age, we haven't had 200 years into the light age. We've had 8. Okay. And in that 8 years, that's like one click on a second on a clock. What happens the next second? Every time we go a second further and further away from the dark age, it's harder for the dark age to create long-term influences.
But that's another clock. So you're getting out of the Roman numeral clock into the clock of the universe.
I'm trying to use it as a metaphor. The further you get away from the bottom of the dark age and entering the light age.
But isn't the yugas and the kali yugas and that whole second thing of going through cosmos just a bigger clock?
There's many different frequencies of time one's consciousness can connect to. Like here on Earth, we have three forms of time: astral, surface, and hollow. And then there's the solar system time, which is the solar system operating, spinning around in a galaxy. Then there's the galactic time, which is pegged off of our galactic central sun. And then there's universal time, how our galaxy and galaxies revolve around a universal central sun. So there's three rings of time that consciousness can connect to and do things with at an individual or a high state of beingness.
Okay, Sash.
Well, I just—it's interesting. I notice what I would call a polar thinking or dichotomous dualistic thinking when we talk about or think about the bad guys who are negative versus the good guys who are of light. And in my way of looking at things is what we're calling negative are things which are part of everything too, part of God, so to speak. And that if we look at what's driving those things that we're labeling as negative, we'll see that they're egocentric with the whole of everything. And so I would reach for some kind of unity rather than some kind of a warring concept, because in a way, what we think is opposite us really forms a dimension, a continuum, and that being able to embrace the whole thing makes you even more comprehensive in your perspective, I would suggest.
Very well said. So part of the greater awakenings is accepting that those have been playing the role of the villains will have to have some form of forgiveness at the universal source with inside us, so that they, if they want to make a change and jump into the new age, they can.
Yes.
And those
yes.
that won't. So forgiveness is going to be a huge part of the greater awakening.
Right. And they actually, it's like in a play, the ones that play the villains get the biggest applause because they graciously this they to hold the point in the polarity for us to have experiences to learn and grow, evolve, expand, and have things to do. Otherwise, that's what I've shown on the ship. If it's all, together in oneness, it's just kind of flat, right?
The challenger is a trumpeter.
The challenges are what give us excitement, adventures, and things to talk about, you know?
So what I was saying earlier, Earth is what I call source disconnection school. And the villains that we have are great at teaching source disconnection. And as we come out the other side of the awakening and begin the forgiveness process for those villains that played the role, we'll learn it. What we'll have learned is how to resource connect. And that's a commodity we'll be able to teach other species who have gone through their own form of forced source disconnection because of the DNA manipulation. Like example, there are many species out there right now that are very close to total extinction because they no longer have sex organs. They modified their DNA to not have sex organs so they could have consciousness, time travel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And what we will do is we will share part of our DNA in a positive farming format so that they can once again have sex organs. And then part of the byproduct is we got to teach an 80,000-year-old woman how to have swollen feet and be pregnant and raise a child because they've never done it. They clone everything.
We're working with interviewing Elizabeth Anglin, and she talks about how all these kids, teenage kids, that they were being taken as a whole group because the ETs wanted to learn about sex and bring that into their lives, just like you're saying.
They didn't know how to do it. They don't know how to have orgasms. They don't even understand what the body function of the vulva is, okay? Let alone some of the other non-high scientific journeys, okay? Like when one leaves the logic of science and allows emotions to be a part of the greater growth, we enter this super engine of experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And sex and sexuality, procreation and standard sexuality for pleasure purpose allows us to enter the super emotional state where you can have advanced consciousness-based experiences of bliss and super intelligent moments of what I call superluminal thinking.
Right. You can actually go through the universe in your bliss.
Right.
You can travel through time and space.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you can learn to harvest that energy personally with inside yourself to make great thought constructs and creations.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we have about 15 minutes. Maybe a little bit less. What would you like to tell our listeners about your work and what they need to know? What do they need to take home with them? What are the most important things?
So on the journey to November 3rd, my best advice for you right now is to cut down your information. It is toxic right now. And oftentimes the internet gets flooded with these very negative psychic parasites. And the closer we get to the election, you're going to see people melt down and melt down and melt down and melt down and melt down. Don't absorb their toxic energy. Get out there into nature. I know it sounds so cliche, but it has so much value and truth to it. Allow yourself to look at your old selves. People, there's a technique that you can do is look at pictures from when you were at a young age and try to identify the fake smile. Find three or four pictures where you've got the fake smile and begin the journey of traveling past backwards in time into your own self and connect with that child in the picture with the fake smile and say to them, I am your future self. What do you need to prove that I am your future self? I'm here to love you and help you get out of that fake smile and heal the trauma of the past so it instantly heals me in the future. That's a great responsibility to take on.
Fake smile. Maybe they were authentic smiles.
It's easier to find the fake ones and connect and heal to that. And then the journey is find yourself with the great smile and reconnect to it. So you can have both sides of that experience. Then after you get good at that, can you do it to a future self?
Mm-hmm.
Can you go, next Friday, I'm going to be coming home from work and I'm going to say, hey, future self, I'm your past self here to bring you love. And my future self, who will be me a Friday from now, it is my choice to be aware of me sending it to myself and then accepting it in.
Have you ever met your future self?
Many times.
Describe what happened when you met your future self.
Oh God, there's been so many experiences. Telling me about becoming the Galactic Historian, what fame would mean, certain relationships that were coming that I would never truly understand, giving me pre-information about information so I would be seated with a type of wisdom, being taken up onto ships, even though I know that's hundreds of years in the future. It is my future self who came to a past part to inspire me to see into a deeper future, to use the skill sets that I had been given for a deep visionary process in which I can go through the writer's journey of trying to describe and define what a potential future or an actualized future feels like.
Sash. Okay, so I've always been fascinated with time travel stories, and I guess I've been time traveling all my life, and that's why I'm so fascinated with it, and especially, so what's coming down the line? So when I was shown 24 potentialities,
mm-hmm.
I was told I am the chooser. So we are the choosers of our own futures, correct?
Mm-hmm. Based off of your circumstance and responsibility to your awareness. And your level of awareness in our human world and in many other worlds, our responsibility is equal to our level of awareness. Our awareness is equal to our level of responsibility. But in this massive social media world, oftentimes people are exposed to information that their awareness is not ready to take on the responsibility for. And it puts them down a path of overexposing themselves to stuff they're not ready to take on. Okay, like there's a lot of people who aren't ready for some of the greater information. They have to process it over weeks and months instead of being mass introduced to them through social media. So this greater journey of understanding time and time travel, overloading of information, it's the individualization process that human beings go through so that they can take on the responsibility of having this infinite God source inside them and them on the journey of self-discovery.
So what recommendations do you have so that we can have a highest, best outlook for all of us? Like, there's a win for all. There's not Star Trek says one for the, sacrifice of the one for the many, but that's kind of like Jesus climbing up on a cross. What about the win for all? How do we get win for all?
There is no such thing as a win for all. It's an individual win. And right. The lightworker community has this way of procreating and procrastinating and saying it's all a collective awakening. To me, that's one of the biggest untruths out there. It's an individual awakening. It has always mm-hmm. meant to be an individual awakening. and completely separate of the whole. It's not meant to be a collective awakening. It's an individual awakening to the greater truths of what unnatural human living is to what natural human living is, which is living with the birds, the trees, the ducks, the dinosaurs, and they all have a high-frequency energy that we can interact with, and that there's a whole other multiverse or what I call uni-world that's layered on top of each other, and we can begin to experience the many layers outside of the global narrative. And when we take on this awesome responsibility of seeing the uni-world layered on top of each other, there's a great responsibility to activating the inner self desires and to separate wants, needs, and desires and begin to make goals that are easily accomplishable and then accept the victories of the past and overcome our self-created demons so that we no longer have these habit patterns of self-defeat. That is how the individual breaks through to the other side and has that greater journey. And then as a bigger percentage of people become awakened, they're naturally going to be attracted to other awakened people in the physical world. And there's where those new forms of cultures and tribes were created about the individual awakening. Example, if you've never done a float tank, go do a float tank. If you've not had a massage in 5 years, go and do a massage. There's things that everyone should do on a very regular basis that are body-based works. Are you familiar with cranial sacral therapy?
Yes.
Okay. I absolutely recommend that absolutely everyone go and have a few hours of cranial sacral therapy because it can help you unravel. Myofascial release. There's so many powerful healing techniques and healers out now compared to 20 years ago where there's hardly anyone. Okay. Get over your fear of letting people touch you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What about these accelerators? Like when I was a child, we had one reality and then the Beatles came along and all of a sudden we had this accelerator of consciousness and an awareness. And we've had these accelerators in different generations. And like we had the Berlin Wall come down in one day and we went from mm-hmm. one reality and then to another. What were you going to say, honey?
Well, John Lennon was, he was the embodiment of Jesus. Ultimately, that's where he got, and he communicated that to everybody. We got it.
So there's a possibility of, I know things are going slow and easy, but some kind of accelerator to the positive. Are you seeing any kind of accelerators to help us go sooner, quicker, faster than this long, slow road?
The answer is yes. But when the Beatles came out, the world was freshly stitched together, and the Beatles invasion of the past could never happen in our modern world.
Okay? Well, we were coming from World War II, and everybody had been traumatized by World War II. Mm-hmm. So do you see kind of negative like World War III?
No, negative. So what I would say is this. We are one cat missing a jump video away from having a collective laugh. We are one speech away from catalyzation into something similar to the British invasion. We are one song, one poem away from viral takeover of a collective feeling of relief and happiness and internal healing. Mm-hmm. So we, like never before, human beings and an individual are poised that their creations can outcreate the entire system of domination and control. And those old things like the Beatles just shows it can be done, but it has to be done within the matrix, the sacred matrix that is the seen and the unseen world, where those people who are divinely inspired follow their divine inspiration through to the end. You know, I do a call-in show and I talk to a lot of people who are heavily spiritual people, but they are allergic to business. They're allergic to 3D matrix business. I know so many healers, they have a website that's from 2013 and it's been never been updated. You know, in the modern world, if you have a website like that, that's like going to a restaurant and seeing a cockroach in your salad. It's a disrespect to business. Okay. So when I tell spiritual people, you've really got to learn 3D matrix business because spirit is your business and the spirit of business flows through you.
So it's not all about money, though, is it? What is
No, it's about the abundance of super creations. And abundance is important. There are so many light workers who are stuck in what I call lack consciousness. They've lacked for so long that they don't know how to create anymore in their lack. or they become extreme do-it-yourselfers and never truly enter the great learning process. And they pervert themselves, or those that believe every teaching should be out for free. No, it shouldn't. You've got to value it for what it is.
So what's the best way to value it?
Your internal judgment of what your value is. All those healers that are out there that are undercharging, you are doing a disservice to your greater self by undercharging.
Mm-hmm. Sash.
I think that a lot of services and goods should be our public, you know, like Facebook, for example, are public utilities and should be for everybody, not just for a business model. Monopolistic capitalism, which is built off the backs of slaves from the get-go, is a pernicious system, and it's dumb. What we just need is minimal support for every being.
We are in a kleptocracy now, stealing from itself. This kleptocracy process that has become modern capitalism, the constant stealing of wealth, that is a greater part of the negative hollow earther agenda into source disconnection for the general human beings. If you believe money is power and power is money, and money creates the greater form of love and life, you're stuck into that process where capitalism, and you think hard work will get you out of it. Talk to the kid in Africa or the guy in India who's never going to make it out of where they're at, not because of their education, for the nature of the culture and the economics around them.
Okay, we have 3 minutes. What would you like to convey to everybody? And how do they get in touch with you?
Okay, you could go to my website, andrewbartzis.com, B-A-R-T-Z-I-S. You can find me on Facebook, YouTube, and YouTube also. I have a regular show every Tuesday, 12 noon, and every Thursday, 6 p.m. Those are both Eastern time. And then every other Friday, I host a comedy show where we tell people to take the stick out of their butt, relax. And what we do is we look at all the spiritual stuff, all the conspiracy communities, all the political stuff, and we make a comical show based off of that. Because part of the greater form of living is to have fun. And there are so many spiritual people that they are so obsessed about spirituality, they never take a day off. I ask a lot of people on my show, what do you do for fun that isn't spiritual? And 95% of them don't have an answer. Okay, so
I got to say that's so right on, because right above your crown chakra, there's one that's really important, and it's the clown chakra. You got to be in touch with that.
Got to be in touch with that. So get out there and watch some stand-up comedy. Get out there and understand life is meant to be. No matter how bad it seems that it is right now, you can disconnect from the negative trauma, toxicity, and find happiness and joy. One of the greatest journeys we all have to learn on the awakening is self-creating joy, and what I call is finding the enthusiastic effort inside us all.
Oh, that's great. Watch cats.
I love watching cats missing jumps on videos, but I also like going out and fishing, hiking. You know, a lot of those are still spiritual stuff. I'm working on doing a stand-up comedy show too. If we weren't in COVID lockdown already, I would have started an actual stand-up tour, using all of the things I've learned from my private sessions, all the stuff that I've learned from history, and making a stand-up comedy show out of it, which has become, for my comedy show, has become just as much as a great teacher as to all these other shows that I do.
Wonderful. Do you have YouTubes on your comedy shows?
Yes, you can go to my YouTube, Galactic Historian or Andrew Bartzis, and you'll see every other Friday. I started the 5th of May this year, so there's about 15 comedy shows already put up.
Oh, we'll go and check them out for sure. And well, this is music coming, and I want to thank you very much, Andrew, for coming on our show. Thank you, Deborah. Thank you, Sasha. Thank you, listeners. Much love and blessings, and
aloha.
Aloha, everyone.